Full Bear, and Full Bear Street, if you know in Cumberland Village, when you come, where Barrett's shop is, and if you come down Dunning Road to Barrett's shop, and then you're heading north, there's a little jog in the road that you can take to the highway. That is Full Bear Street right there. And the Full Bears lived, that was the Full Bear farm. And then this house was right on the highway at the end of, at the north end of Full Bear Street, right beside my place. And I don't know if the Full Bears ever actually, they might have lived in here a little bit, but then they rented it out to the Dales, the Dale family. And this was the Dale farm here, actually, that it's back on. And Dale Cemetery next door is the cemetery. And John Dale and his wife lived here, and they raised four daughters. And then in the 40s, it was sold to the Morans, Jimmy Moran. And you'll meet a lot of his family come around. And Jimmy Moran, this house was, you know where the Catholic Church is on the highway, right in Cumberland? Well, as I said, this house was right at the end of Full Bear. Oh, I should draw a map.
Let us know if you need more markers.
Yeah, so you've got the river, and you've got the old highway and the new highway, and then your Dunning Road comes like that. And we always knew it as the fifth line. It's the fifth concession, you know, because you've got the 10th line. 10th line has retained its name. But the old people know it as the fifth line, but it's now Dunning Road. And then Full Bear, this is not right to scale, but this is Full Bear Street here. And you see, here's the Auberge.
Is Dunning the road when you come off the lights? You go
when you're going down the road, yeah, you've got the cornerstone on one side, and you've got the ice cream video place on the other
on
side.
The way to the hockey rink?
Okay. Yeah, that's still
you've
up towards
Barrett's.
The hockey rink.
You've got, the arena is up here. And the ball diamond. This is Cameron here. The Cameron's were original center.
Mr.
You've
Gass.
Got Mr. Gass.
Yeah.
And
okay.
The ferry is here.
Okay.
And Cameron goes right to the highway. So Barrett's shop is here. And then, of course, you've got Market Street. This is Market Street where the school is. Wait, no. Oh, yeah, that's the Auberge.
Yeah.
And then Market
right
comes like that. And this is Peter Harkness. And my house is right here, you see, on the river. And Chestnut Cottage, where my grandparents lived, is right here. My great-grandfather had this strip of land right back to Sarsfield at one time. And then a lot of it was given out. But the school, Riverview School, is here.
Which and is where you teach. I don't think people know that.
No. And then you've got Barrett's shop, and then you've got Haddad's store, and you've got the United Church that was originally Presbyterian in 1926-28. Presbyterians and Methodists became united. And then there's an Anglican church and so forth. But back, you see, this is where the Full Bear House was right here. And then the Catholic Church.
So right where the highway is?
Yeah, it was right on the highway.
Okay.
So this house, the Full Bear House, was built about 1915. And Full Bears lived there for a bit, and then the Dales, and then the Morans, and then after the Morans it was Villeneuve's. And then the Villeneuve's lived there till this came to this place about 1980 or something like that. I remember when they moved it. But it hasn't changed at all. But the Morans had a big family. They had, 10, 12 kids, and they had no running water in here, and they all survived, and you'll probably meet some of them. Millie Edwards, Miles Edwards? Maybe you've met Miles. He was the person who had the truck. He brought the truck to the gas station.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he had those scales. His wife was raised in that home, Millie. And Bob Edwards is another Edwards. He's going to donate some trees to the museum, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about 1909... the CNR put a train track right through here from Ottawa right to Hawkesbury. And so this house was right on the track, actually. But apparently, before then, it had been a Hudson's Bay Post. There had been a Hudson's Bay Post in that area. And when I'm in my garden out here, like, this is not great to scale. My garden is almost, closer. I've dug up lots of nails from the rail bed and even old coins and things and lots of clay pipe. And there was supposed to have been, there were no Native people, Aboriginals that are native to this area. This the land between the St. Lawrence and the Ottawa was more or less no man's land, because you had your Iroquois, who were American tribe. They were the first UELs, United Empire Loyalists, that came up in about 1789 to Cornwall, with Joseph of Brantford and
The Otto River was a real transit way.
Yeah, the Otto River was a transit river, and north of the Otto River it was Algonquian, and you had your, you know, the Ottawa tribe from Manitoulin Island, mm-hmm. but the Kitchissapriini were the people of the river, and the Odawa were the keepers of the fire, and then the Abenaki further down at Sorel by Quebec were the people of the east. But the river was your main transit, and up until 1909, the CNR put a track through, and it was taken out in about 1933. I have a picture of the last train going through in 1936.
It didn't stay long.
Well, there were so many rails all throughout here, and they had CN, and then you see there was at Leonard, there was another train track, and at Navan, so they had duplicity. Yeah. And then in the 30s, they were all dining cars, and they were having a lot of waste of money in the food because they had no way to preserve the food, and it was going bad, and people weren't working. They were running the rails rather than paying them. So this track was taken up. But the river was your first main thoroughbred fare. And there was a ferry where we have one now. And over here, you know, the big stone house, the Wilson farm down here, that was Senator Corrine Wilson's farm, her husband's farm, I should say. There was a wharf right north of their house also, the Wilson Wharf. And I know when I was young, we used to go and fish there. And see, the river is much higher now. In 1964, the Carillon Dam opened up, and the river has expanded. It's widened easily 10, 15 meters on each side. And when I was a child, it seemed to be much narrower, and we had lovely lilies growing throughout and bullfrogs. But because the ferries are going constantly now, the water is no longer secure, you know, and stagnant. But the Wilson Wharf was there. So you had many wharves all throughout. Then the train came through, and then it was pulled out. And this old highway that's now St. Joseph Boulevard, or we call it Queen Street. Actually, it's St. Joseph to Taylor Creek, and this is Queen Street, eh? Queen Street, I would say it probably went through about 1914, before the First World War. And this new highway went through in 1950. Two, it was open about 1950, somewhere in there.
17?
Yeah, 17 was the old, I call it the old, it's the new 17, but it's 17, I guess.
Yeah.
So you had your river, and you had the train, and this road, Queen Street, was the main thoroughfare. It was the old Montreal Highway. Like, you've got Montreal Road to Saint-Joseph, to Queen, and it goes through Alfred and Hawkesbury and Wendover. It curves along the river.
So was there no road at all then where the new...
No, so these tracks, from 1936, these tracks were taken up, and this was just all field, and people would walk, you know, freely. And a lot of the steel rails were taken up, and stories go that they were bought by Japan in the 30s. Japan bought a lot of junk scrap. And my mother told me this, and three other people told me this also, and they all laughed and said, well, this came back as bullets in the Second World War, because they melted it down, and here was our only steel coming back. I mean, that's just the way life is. So this was from 36 till about 48, when they started to build the highway, it was vacant. So the people, this house was just sort of on the railroad track. So it must have, you know, it's amazing that it's still very stable. Although there weren't really freight. They're all passenger trains, so they wouldn't have any big shaking diesels. So that's what I know about this house, it's a very nice little house. Now,
what would the upstairs have looked like there? Would it just be about five bedrooms with there?
I think, it hasn't changed much. Really, Edward told me it's pretty well the same as it was.
Yeah, but there's the bathroom.
And they had outhouses, and they had the pump.
So what was this bathroom then?
It might have been a commode, you know, or
a
chemical toilet, or closet toilet. But they would have been septic tanks. We're still all septic tanks, eh?
Yeah.
So I'll show you some of the houses, like the main, this is the main street
Queen.
Of Cumberland. This is Queen. And you've got your river. And, okay, so you've got Dunning here. Now, on Queen Street, you've got your river and so forth. Well, I'm not very great map here. Okay, you've got the big, I call it the stone house is the auberge restaurant, okay? That, and then you've got Chestnut Cottage, which is just over here.
The little white one?
It's It's David Ferguson's. It's a red brick.
Oh, okay.
It's a red brick.
It's kind of pushed back behind the trees.
There's an old white house here that has no front steps, and the school's over here, more or less.
What was the CC? Sorry.
Chestnut Cottage.
Chestnut Cottage.
Now, across from the stone house was this, the Spratt house.
So where that so vacant that, lot is that what you're saying?
Yeah, where that vacant lot was the Spratt house.
Okay.
And this place was known as Clearview to my family, and this was Chestnut Cottage, because there were chestnut trees around, okay? And in 18, my great-grandfather was born in 1838 in Caledonia Springs, which is a little spot just south of Bentley Hill. And his father, William Ferguson, was a stonemason, like a builder, and he was commissioned to come out from Scotland with his family to build the mills in Thurso and Perkins, and a lot of the big stone buildings. If you look at the history, the Loyalists came up. Actually, the first Loyalists to Canada were the black people who went to Halifax after the, as free slaves. And then the Iroquois came up with a lot of the British in 1759 was the battle, but a lot of people didn't start coming up till about 1790s. And then in 1801, Cumberland was established as Fauvertville, and the Dunnings and the Fauverts came about the same time, and Amable Fauvert's daughter married a Dunning, so that family is quite melded. And there's you should go over to the cemetery sometime and see some of these tombstones. The Amable Fauvert, I think there's his tombstone right there.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's over along the back, and you can see the Dunnings. But you see, in those days, there was no distinction really between the English and French in the way that lived along here, because everybody spoke. A lot of the English people spoke French, and vice versa. And like my great grandfather they were bilingual, and they never realized it. You know, to me,
it's almost like one language.
Well, to me, you know, it never really became an issue until Pierre Trudeau made it such a big deal. Even when I was young, growing up, we never thought of anybody being English or French. We were just all people. You know what I mean? And there were La Jumanière, La Guerrier, and we'd speak English and French, and.
Because I'm from like Toronto area, and I find it very, just even in Ottawa in general, hard to adjust to. Like, I'm just so aware of trying to speak French, and I don't understand it, and everybody else just seems like, they probably speak both, or it's just not a big deal.
But in Rockland, of course, so like my great-grandfather would have spoken English and French both. When he came then to Cumberland in 1860, he lived, first of all, then in this little Spratt house. Now, I don't know if the Spratts built it. They must have. It was just a log cabin. But when I remember it across from Clearview, it was covered in yellow clapboard. And the Moffat family lived in there for a long time, in the 40s and the 50s.
Yeah.
And then,
where did they get Spratt from then?
Well, the Spratts owned it.
Like?
The Spratt farm, that was their name, Mr. and Mrs. Spratt. And their farm was back off... Will Haven. Spratt's married into an old family.
They didn't own it in the 30s, though, did they?
I'm not sure.
Because we have it like the Ferguson doctor's office.
Well,
now,
I don't
that
know.
Was a long time ago.
That was in 18.
That wasn't in the 30s.
That was only a very short time, I think. In the 1860s.
That's not actually true. It should be
like a house.
It was Spratt's house. We always knew it. It was never really a Ferguson thing that I think. You know, he might have lived there. So he lived there maybe about from 1860 to maybe 1864.
Okay, so not long.
But it wasn't really.
Because he was married in 1863, and then they built this house sometime. You see.
Marriage.
So that Spratt house was moved here to Cumberland, and I think they took all the siding off, and what you see now is all the log structure that was underneath.
Oh, so it did have siding on it?
Yeah, it had like a yellow siding. Everything was yellow.
Do you know when they decided to take off the...
They took the clapboard off where they moved it down here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because it was across the street from the auberge, and quite all grown over like a haunted house, and it was all the windows were boarded up, and there was a beautiful veranda all around it, too.
That's too bad that we don't have that.
Yeah, there was a lovely veranda all around it. But, You see, they took it down to the original log. It could be very well the oldest, one of the oldest buildings in Cumberland, right?
Is that house old too, the one they always have, it's for sale, and they always have the garage sales in front of it on the
Oh yeah, that's Watson's.
And it's, and it's wooden.
Yeah, is that owned by the Watson's family?
Yeah, so,
own
okay,
Watson's
so the Spratt house is here. Yeah. And then my mother has a little house right there, actually. This is Fulbert Street.
That's that
Fulbert Street. And then, see, here's where your Fulbert house, this house.
Yeah.
So is Fulbert different than Fulbert?
Fulbert.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Just how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Fulbert. We call
it is spelled F-O-U, isn't it?
F-O-U-B-E-R-T, and then there was F-A, I think the street is F-A-U.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So is that the same family?
Yeah, it's I think it was the same family. It's like Clearu, Smith, and Smythe, and you've got Scarf. Scarf is spelled very differently, you know, a lot of names. Because you see, a lot of people didn't have schooling.
No, they wrote
spell
their own name, really.
So then, on you've got Watson's Garage was right here.
Right across from
This little white house that's for sale now, that was Annie Barnett's house. It's a white house with a green roof, right on the corner.
Yep.
And then you've got that big old gray wood house, and that was Watson's house there.
That's the one that's for sale?
And it's
like an empty lot kind of beside it.
Yeah, she's got a garden. So Marion Watson lives there now.
Oh, she still lives?
Yeah, well, the mother, you see, at one time, this is where Barrett's shop is, right here, right?
Yeah.
And Cumberland at one time was a thriving village. It had maybe nearly 1,500 people in it, and there were three hotels. There was a lot of action down at the ferry. They had potash, and they had saloons, and they had all, you know, it was very busy down there. And they had, there was a hotel where Barrett's shop was that was pulled down in, I think it was called the Windsor. And it was torn down in the 60s, I remember it, but it was an old haunted house type of a thing, eh?
Yes.
And Watson's lived, it was built by Tice Watson, who was the father of the man who built this garage, and Watson's owned all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, see, Dunning Road didn't used to go straight through, it used to kind of jog in between the garage and Spratt's house,
so
somewhere in there.
So used to take Market Street then?
Yeah, well, you take it back just a little bit and it jogged because there was a big gully through here, but then they fixed it up sometime in the 50s. But John Watson's house that you see now, that old, well, it's
where
it was built,
house.
They were married
they
about
1930.
My mother was married in 37, so they were married around the same time as my mom and dad. So it was built in 1937, and it was built like a house by numbers. You know, how you put a log house together?
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a pattern. And they never had enough money to finish bricking it in. Then the garage, I think, had been built earlier. Somebody said 1900, but I don't think it was built that early. The fellow, Don Watson, was here on the weekend. I don't know if you had a chance to meet him.
No.
Should have introduced him to you. Little short guy with red hair. And he loved being over in the garage. And he said, Jeannie, I'm going to play a trick on Brett. Because Brett was in the garage. And so he went over to Brett and he says, can you tell me, son, what year was this building built? And Brett looked at him and said, well, you should know, you're a Watson.
So he knew who he was.
Because see, a lot of the old people like to try to trick you, eh?
I've been trying to trick people doing all the time.
Yeah, like yesterday.
And if they tell you something, whether it's right or wrong, just say thank you for that. You know, see, I'll have that's interesting.
Thanks for making it work.
Yeah. So the garage, then, that is over here, it was the first garage, I think. See, it was right on that highway. That now the highway was probably built in the 1914, like First World War. So this must have been built to accommodate, you know, the First World War. Like I'd say in the late teens, 20s. But this house wasn't built. There was another hotel back here too.
Wasn't it a bike shop?
I asked Don about that, but it must have been at one time, maybe. Because, you know, they would have had bicycles. Cars, what, 1900, 1904, and,
1904.
You know, 1904.
In the notes that we have
them.
Here, it says that he was a bicycle repairman. So
but see, John Watson, he was born in 1904.
Must have been his father then.
And his father had the hotel.
Huh.
So, the garage was moved down here, but when we were kids, this was always our hangout, and we'd go to Watson's garage, and it looks very similar, except the Coke machine is not there, and there was an air pump on the corner, and you'd go to get your bicycle pumped up. and everybody would meet there, and then you'd take off wherever you went. So then you have Barrett's shop, and then you've got Haddad's, you know, and the church and so forth. Okay,
yes.
What else? Then you've got the ferry road, you've got Cameron, and there was an old super test station right here for a long time, and that place store burnt down. That was a real shame. Then you've got the Anglican church, the little white church, further down here, and right beside it was the Orange Hall.
So where's that garage right now that's right in front of Cameron Street?
Oh yeah, that was built in the
50s. Okay, so Texaco. In other words,
it used to be a Texaco now.
Right beside it is where the Orange Hall used to be.
No, the Orange Hall is further west, past, like there's that garage.
Yeah, the garage is there. Cameron Street.
And see, a lot of the houses in the village have been moved around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like to the front street and the back street. They moved houses all over the place. You know, there's a little kind of a, there used to be a little pizza shop, like when you're heading.
Yeah, it's a Miss Cumberland Pizza.
There's one house, two houses. This would have been the third. There's a vacant lot between the white church and the next house. This is where the community hall, but we always knew it as the Orange Hall. I know it was built around 1900 or something, I think.
No.
And
same type of church.
It was always on July the 14th. See, Cumberland had a lot of churches, there was always a Macmillan or an Edwards who was King Billy, William of Orange, Battle of the Boyne,
mm-hmm.
and July the 14th was always Orange Day, and the Orangemen would have had a big parade through the village up till about, you know, the 20s or 30s, and King, they would elect someone to be the king, and he would ride a big white, the biggest white horse in the area. So it was always usually a Macmillan.
How would that go over though? I mean, there's a lot of Catholics.
There were not really, within the village, Cumberland Village itself was really quite English. French Hill and Sarsfield and Saint-Joseph, which was Orléans, had, you know, and any of the French people who lived in here were assimilated through marriage because Laverne, a Dunning married into a Laverne, you know, and Legault and all, and a lot of, you know, they all intermarried. Mm-hmm. But there was the Anglican church that was at one time further east or further west, it was moved here, and you had by Haddad's, you had the Presbyterian church, and then over by the garage there was a Baptist church. It's torn down, and the altar from the Baptist church is in our Maple Hall. If you've ever been in Maple Hall for pancakes or anything, it's funny now, I always thought it's funny that the altar from this church, which was torn down in the 60s, when in across from Haddad's store, there's Maple Hall, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's now the bar.
Oh, really?
So prayers have been told over both.
Yeah. Somebody came in.
Now, there was another church. Right at Queen Street. Right here, there was a gospel hall that my great-grandfather, who lived in here, who was the doctor, built in the 1870s. And he was known as Plymouth Brethren, which was a branch of the Anglican Church. And there was a big fervent move in the 1870s to bring back evangelism. Anytime there seems to be a depression in an economy, like you look now with our Billy Graham episode, you know, people seem to be ripe for it. And way in the 30s, there were a lot of evangelical movements, and then in the 1870s and 1880s. So it seems every 50 years, people seem to want to get back to their spiritualism. So there was a church there. So Cumberland, it was very... regimented.
Lots of churches.
Now the Catholic Church, I don't know, I'm not a very good map. Back here now, have you met David Ferguson?
No.
David Ferguson, his house is just sort of back off that nice little red brick that was my great-grandfather's. And this white house, the Catholic Church wanted to buy this in the 50s to put up a church. But because my grandparents were evangelical, Plymouth Brethren, they really didn't want to have Roman Catholics across from them. I mean, they were so bigoted. So my father bought this piece of land, but then the Catholic Church ended up being put down here on the highway because Jimmy Moran, who lived in this house, was staunch Roman Catholic, and he gave the land for the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. you know.
The land that this, like our land here at the museum, was that donated or was that purchased?
It was donated. Now, in this was all farmland that I recall, you know, my husband actually lived across the street before we were married, and we used to skidoo all in through here. But this was the Dale Farm, And then a minion, this big white house that's for sale over here, Zuccherini's, it was owned by Stackhouses and Minions. And then they sold this land in the 70s to Sugarman Estates and like all Cumberland Estates. This was all farmland. And used to be wild horses and everything all up through here. So when Mr. Sugarman bought this land, he had to allocate a certain amount to recreation to the township. So this was donated, this strip.
Before he could do
so about 1974, 75 in there somewhere. So this was all donated. But it had been owned by the Minions and the Stackhouses and the McCrays owned the big farm up there. Eh? So let me think. Now the school, my father taught in that school in 1925, and I remember him saying that he would saddle up his horse at Chestnut Cottage, which is the little red brick house just by the auberge, and he would ride his horse, Minto, out to French Hill, which is just on Dunning Road, about 4 kilometers, right at the top of the hill. And it would take him maybe 2 hours to get out there, an hour anyhow, by horse, you know, I think. It
takes about 5 minutes by car.
Yeah, I know. And he said his mother would milk the cow in the morning and fill up a little thermos with the milk, and by the time he had jogged out on the horseback, there would be butter in the top. And he said the inspector would come around and they'd have to do a lesson. And he taught some of the children older than he and so forth, you know. And sometimes I remember him saying that he would get snowed in and he'd have to stay overnight. There was a little log cabin right across the, that used to be the Brennan's farm. This school was on Brennan's property, and a lot of the Brennans are married into the Dunnings, and I mean, you know, a lot of intermarriage.
A lot of people seem to have stayed.
They stayed, and still a lot of people, it really is a drawing card, or they come back, a lot of people are coming back. Now, people would have gone to school, there, like this was SS number one, which stood for school section. I always thought it was separate school, but it was school section. And I think it was in the 1930s that the separate school and the public school became entities. So there was SS number one.
But the separate school and the public school became?
Being separate. The French started their own, Roman Catholics started their own school system because they wanted their religion and their language in the 30s. Up until that time, everybody went to the same school, and there would be, you know, maybe they, if the majority of people were francophone, they would speak, you know, it depended on the teacher too, I suppose. The school in Cumberland Riverview, that is the present school, is the fourth building that is on that site. You can look at the pictures and see the fire. That fire was about 1912. Now that school was the second school, and then the third school was torn down in the 60s, and then the present one was built. But that was SS number 5. There was SS number 10 and all sorts of schools all over. So kids would go to these local schools, and then...
So this was number one
In French Hill.
So now, okay. Why would they, like, who would go to this SS1 just around French Hill?
Yeah, just the French, yeah. They had them within a community, because you all had to walk, so there was, within Cumberland Township, there might have been, like, 8, 10 schoolhouses. There was one down here at Beckett's Creek.
Okay.
There was one out back at Innes, on the corner of Innes Road, just before Frank Kenny, you know, up in there. So people would walk, I don't know, maybe 4 miles, and maybe they had them in a 4 mile radius, I don't know. But the kids would go there until, you know, they had enough schooling, I guess, to read and write, and many of them would go back into the farm. But the children who wanted to continue on would go, some of them went to Lisgar. Now my great-grandfather's brother in the 1880s. See, Lisgar was built in about 1870. It was opened up as one of the first collegiates in the area. And they would go in and board in Ottawa. So my great uncle went, they both went to Lisgar in the 1880s, and then my own uncle and Vic Dunning, they would take the Empress and the Victoria steamship into Ottawa, and they'd board in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And then any person who wanted to go on to higher learning would go to town, and then they would go on to McGill.
So there was a steamship that used to come down.
The steamer, the Empress, yeah.
Like down the river?
Yeah, the Empress, there was one called the Empress, and the Victoria was another one, and they were, I think they were paddle boats. I should have brought those pictures, but they had the paddle wheel on them, and they'd go right from the Chaudière down to Grenville, because there's rapids.
And then they'd stop like the trains,
They would stop at Cumberland, there's a place at Rockland, and at Treadwell, and Wendover. all Plantano, all of them around there. Clarence. And they'd have a morning, and you could hear the whistle, you know.
So they wouldn't take the train, because the train...
Well, the train wouldn't have come through till 1909, but they could have taken the train. Now, the bell that is in the United Church that is just beside Haddad's store, the nice red brick church, that bell was off the Empress, the steamer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so the train station was just about where Mr. Gas is. And the train station, if you're going heading west onto the new highway, when you're going by, you'll see Mr. Gas, and then there's a big kind of, if you're looking, you'll see a spot where our local biker lives, Merlin. He's an ex-member of the Outlaws, but he's our town cop.
One with all the cars?
It's got lots of cars.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Looks like a junkyard.
Yeah, it's a junkyard. Then right next to it is a white building that's been painted white, but it was the train station.
Oh, really?
And they moved it back off the highway.
So where would like a general store have been?
Haddad's. Haddad's.
And did they have, like, you go there for all your...
So right where the general store...
No, Haddad's store, the S&S, which is on the north side. That was the general store. And then across the street where the Cat's Cradle, where the ice cream was, that, I don't know if... that was a bank for a long time. And it might have been, maybe they didn't have a general store there, because they had tea and so forth. And there was another shop right at the corner across from the gas station on Cameron. It burnt, a lovely store. It was McKean's Tea Room, and then Lancaster's store burnt down.
Yeah. I always wonder, where was the tavern?
The hotels. They had, as I said, the three hotels. But you see, up in the 1910s and the teens and the 20s, you had you had Temperance. So they, it was probably dry in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s.
Prohibition,
yeah.
Oh. The temperance movement.
And the temperance movement and so forth, because you had a big evangelical movement. But there's so many interesting stories. I'm just trying to think of some of the houses. Now, the Dufour House, as you know, was at Place d'Orleans, and I remember when it was moved.
It was right on Dufour Road, wasn't it?
It was right, actually.
Lower.
No, it was down, you know where there's the chiropractic clinic? Like,
yeah.
Right
there.
It was right about there, yeah.
What was up on the hill? Was
that was their farm.
Was
that
farm
was all the Dufour farm up there. And then Queenswood didn't come into being until the late, about 1959, 60s. In the early 60s, that was all farmland, you see. Let's see, what other buildings?
What about the Dupree? Where was that?
I don't know that. Oh, the Dupree House, I vaguely remember. That was right in Orleans. I think it was just about across from Tim Hortons.
So it wasn't
a bus used to run right
Yeah,
past
the Voyageur. You see, I used to take the Voyageur into town when I went into the store.
Must have been on St. Joseph.
It was right on St. Joseph, right across from Tim Hortons, right in around there somewhere.
Cheese place is now.
Yeah.
The
Willie.
It's like a Willie's.
Yeah, right.
Chinese
restaurant. It's right in. It's right. Was right in along there.
So I have another question going back to the school. If you're saying all the schools are in walking distance, why do we have a school bus? Like, what would the school bus be used for?
What year is that from?
It's just a bus.
1900s. No, it's called school bus.
Not school bus.
School bus?
Yeah.
I thought it was a reproduction. I thought it wasn't a real.
But they wouldn't have had a school bus until the 50s.
It's from where?
No, but I don't think it's necessarily from this area, though.
No.
The school bus that
not.
We have in the drive shed in the back.
Yeah. See, maybe in the Richard.
Where is it from?
Ronnie Hills?
It could have been from the cities. Like, my mom grew up in Hamilton, and she said they had a bus that would take them, you know. From she lived in Ancaster, and they would go down the hill. So there was in Toronto and cities,
Ottawa
and that Ottawa would have a bus.
Might be downtown Ottawa.
But out here they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Runs
from
now my father went to high school in Rockland. I don't know if you know Rockland at all, but you know Parc Simon, and then there's the town hall, that lovely red brick.
Jen knows
where
that is.
That was the old high school. Right by the Castel restaurant there. And that was the old high school, and my father went down there to high school, and he had to board because he couldn't come home. It would be too far to travel to come home every night when you think of it, eh? And that was in the 1915, 16 sort of thing. I'm just trying to think of the houses.
Where was the church? French Hill, right?
This church was in
Bars.
The train station and the church were in Bars.
Okay. So
and
what's, you know the picture that we have in our train station?
Yeah.
Where the church is there?
That's
isn't that Queen Street?
Yes, and that's the little Anglican church. It's not this church.
Not that church. I think so.
Yeah, this church was a Presbyterian church, Methodist actually, and then it became united in the 20s. And when they moved it here, they had to move it in pieces. They had to take the steeple down and rebuild it. And Drummond's just went under with a big float and put these on, and then they had to phone the hydro people and the bell people and get all the lines raised. Like, it was really quite a procession. You know, when they moved all the garages and all the buildings, everybody would stand out and watch all the houses come down. It was really neat.
When did people start, like, commuting to Ottawa to work? When did the community stop being sort of...
I would say after the war, 30s, in the 40s. Cumberland was very relatively poor. Like, there was a lot of poverty in the 30s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people, you know, they worked very hard and...
A lot of farmers,
or just a lot of people who didn't have work. But in the 50s were the boom years, and then the Voyageur Colonial bus would take people in and government and after the war. And then another big thing that made Cumberland bigger was the building of the National Research Council, you know, NRC, mm-hmm. that is off Blair Road and in off Montreal Road there. When they built that, I think in the 40s, they got a lot of people out here.
Do you know what Mayville is? Where was that?
Mayville?
The one that's in the middle of the
I'm not sure. I don't remember that. I think it was down in here somewhere.
So was it in Cumberland?
It wasn't in the village, but it was in Cumberland Township, I would imagine. All the buildings were in Cumberland Township.
Where in Quebec was the sawmill? I know they keep saying it was somewhere in Quebec.
Oh, yeah. Baltimore, I think. Was it Baltimore, which is north of Buckingham?
Okay. I just know that they
I think so. And the Taylor Barn now. That Taylor Barn was where Taylor Creek is now, you know, the bowling alley. It was just a little bit west in there.
Also, it was near right here.
Yeah, because that Taylor Creek, where Mr. Gay, you know where the bowling alley and all that, that was the Taylor Farm.
The bowling alley on Trim Road?
Yeah. And that was all the Taylor Farm, and that was their barn. Was
so
here.
Do you know anything about that thing that on our map is the settler's cabin?
But in the 30s now, this is the time that you're, I'll just speak for a minute more. There was a town policeman, and his name was George Buck, and he was a motorcycle cop. And there was another one, Harold Dent. They were the policemen, and they had the old, like, you know, if you think of Bonnie and Clyde, those old types of days, you know. And in 1940, there was a train station in Navan, and there was a German prisoner that had escaped. And he shot Harold Dent, the policeman, to death, and that was quite notorious, in the 30s.
In Navan.
In Navan, yeah. But
now, what was the story, too, about these two girls being killed?
Oh, the McGonagall girls, yes. They were, they lived, you know where the Proof Farm is? I don't know if you ever went there for pancakes. Like, when you come Innes Road, and O'Toole, I think you can pick strawberries there now, eh? But that was the Gamble's Bush and Gamble's Farm. And two McGonagall girls, Eliza, and I forget the other sister, they were about 10 and 12 years of age. They were walking home from where school is now, SS number 5, right in Cumberland Village, and they walked up the quarry up Cambrian Heights, like up and through there, and they were murdered by their hired man, a La Victoire, or a La Roque. And he was their hired man, and he was a little bit... strange, like he wasn't mentally. It was about 1890, and my great grandfather and his son, my great uncle Willie, Dr. William Ferguson, they were the coroners, and there was a big write up. There's a paper that Anne Gonnell actually gave me, and it shows the write up of the investigation, and they had the trial down in Lorignal, and they actually cut the girls' hands off to bring into the courtroom, I think, because. There were scratches on Laroque's face, and they wanted to identify the scratches. The girls had been raped, and it was really pretty terrible. And ironically, that was in 1890. In the 1930s, there were La Victoire and Laroque, if you've ever heard of their, this is notorious. They were the last men to be hung in Eastern Ontario, and they just lived down here off Willhaven, and they were farmers who insured their hired men, and they murdered them. There were three murders. One fellow, they backed a truck over. They set it up that he was fixing the back tire on a truck by the ferry, and they let the brake go, and the truck ran over him, collected the insurance, and then another one, I forget what happened. And the third one, just back here off of Kinsella and Lowe and Willhaven on Galloway's farm, they in the 30s, they what did they do? I think, well, they killed him, but then they, I'm not sure if they hung him or whatever, but they made it look that he had been kicked by a horse. And so they actually brought the team of horses into the courtroom, and the lawyer said, look, horses will not step on anybody, you know, without being provoked. So that was, but that LaRocque was a relation of the LaRocque that had murdered the McGonagall.
Yeah.
These little girls are buried over here. Sorry. That would be an interesting thing sometime.
These little girls are what?
They're buried over in Dale Cemetery.
Girls?
Yeah.
Are right, they really?
Yeah.
Oh, are they?
And
what's that last name again?
Eliza, MC, capital G O N I G L E, McGonagall. And there was Eliza, and I forget, Mary or Sarah. Yeah, and their whole, I think you can see a sleeping Jesus, it says, and their little hands are there. Now, their relations live in Cumberland. Like, actually, their sister was a mother of Rita Finley, and I think that stove that's in here, I think, came from their house. So, you know, the McGonagalls, they moved out west after the murder. MC, capital GONIGLE.
We'll have to look that up. Can you think of any other sort of notable people or stories about people built in the original cemetery?
Well, Louis Riel passed through here, you know, in 1884 mm-hmm. about, and he, George Gilbert D.G. Dunning, he stayed at his house apparently, so he must have come through on that old, see this road, Queen Street, was built on an old Indian trail. So that's an old route. It was a native trail originally. But I guess they captured him somewhere down in the States, and they brought him up maybe by steamer.
He was executed in 1885.
Yeah. So he stayed in Cumberland, but he's not buried over here. But Senator Green Wilson is buried over here.
Okay.
Is he the one that was shot?
No, she died natural causes. Well, she was one of the first, not the first, but one of the first women senators.
Well,
and her farm was right here. She's buried over here.
She's a good one. We're just going to do something in the cemetery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the big tomb, my great-grandfather's tombstone is there. The Dr. James Ferguson, the big gray one with the urn on top, and then Dunning. Oh, another person that you could find over there, Petrie. You know, you've heard Petrie Island where the bridge is going to go through?
Yeah.
I could go on forever. You see, after, after the Napoleonic Wars, 1815, mm-hmm. after the wars between Napoleon and Wellington, a lot of the generals were rewarded, the British generals, with chunks of land. Mm-hmm. So Colonel Tucker got a lot of land in Rockland, and there's Tucker House down there now, which is sort of like a museum. And then Colonel Petrie got a lot of this land, and you know where Petrie Island is, the sand pits, and Rob Vandenham, our counselor, lives in his house. It's a nice stone house right beside LaPorte Gardens, but he's buried over here. Okay. So Colonel Petrie's right there. LaPorte Flowers, you know, LaPorte's
straight down.
Yeah, there's a big stone house right east. Who else? You have to go through. It was mostly a Protestant cemetery, but then now it's pretty well, anybody.
Oh.
And you'll notice some people, there's a Dunning that's buried along the edge of the fence. And anybody who's buried along the edge of a fence in a cemetery, it's because they may have committed suicide, or they were Native. Any Native mm-hmm. Aboriginals. It makes you just scream with racism when you think of it. You know.
So Native.
But suicides. And
what about children that maybe weren't baptized or something?
Maybe.
There's a really young child's grave. Remember that one we
Harper?
Saw? With the sheep.
Yeah, that's Kevin Harper. He died in 1972.
Yeah.
He was drowned just down here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's also Moffats that you were talking about.
Yeah, Moffats and Edwardses and Minogue and Spratts, they're all in there. Morins, McNeely. I don't know. There's just so much. But does that help you a little bit? I mean,
that's
really
great information. Thank you.
So I'll come down tomorrow.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you're doing great.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of stuff to ask you while you're here.
I don't know if
most people here, right?
Yeah, we apologize about that. That we're rushing. We do have some cars in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And now, what I would love to see would be a boat. If we could get a boat tour coming from the Bytown like people could advertise and get on the boat,
come
to the Cumberland Ferry, and you know, you could meet them in an old truck or something, come here for a little bit, and then stop at the auberge and have some
meal. We've been talking about that.
Wouldn't
for
that be great?
A few weeks.
Are they planning to do the paving this summer, or that won't be until the?
We're still waiting for approval. I believe.
Oh gosh.
Wait, I haven't heard an update on that. I think they will be doing it fairly soon.
Do you need that?
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. That was wonderful information.
If I come down for like 11?
Sure, that would be wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Another good thing to see about Orange Hall that some guy told me yesterday is that on every guy box day, they have a meeting, and they write in the minutes, they send some guy to buy 5 bottles of whiskey, and they write it in the minutes. They go, last order of business, John Smith, go buy 5 bottles of whiskey.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Thank you.